Avant ce débat,
before this debate, homophobia was hidden. It was there, but no one expressed it. These demonstrations have brought homophobes together and given them a feeling of strength in numbers.
I will be casting my vote today on the side of love, Madam President.
The going cry now is, hey, we're just folks. You know, we're just like you straight people. I mean, except for this trivial little matter of sexual orientation.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The 14th country and 10th U.S. state okay marriage equality, Cuba's sex ed head is denied an ally award, and activist historian Martin Duberman reconsiders the gay movement. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
Sweeney.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 27th, 2013. France will soon become the 14th country in the world to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. By a vote of 331 to 225, the National Assembly gave final approval on April 23rd to the Marriage for All Bill that extends marriage equality and adoption rights to same-gender couples. The measure originally passed in the National Assembly in February, but a second vote was required to reconcile language in the version passed less than 2 weeks ago in the Senate. Strongly supportive President François Hollande's Socialist Party controls both chambers of parliament, so the final outcome was not really in doubt. Public opinion surveys report majority support for marriage equality in France, though fewer favor adoption rights. But massive protest marches against the bill, fueled by inflammatory rhetoric and organized by leaders of France's Roman Catholic Church and other conservative religious and so-called family groups, have sparked an upsurge of anti-gay violence across the country. A man was beaten unconscious by a group of men as he and his boyfriend walked to their Paris home, and a gay cabaret singer was attacked as he and his partner left a nightclub in Nice. Thugs invaded a gay night spot in Lille early this month, beat the manager, and caused extensive property damage. National Assembly President Claude Bartolone received a letter the day before the scheduled vote that contained gunpowder.
And as the final vote was being tallied, violence erupted at a protest demonstration outside the Parliament building that required the intervention of riot police using tear gas, as protesters attacked them with stones, bottles, and iron bars. There were minor injuries during the melee, and at least 12 arrests. 44 protesters were arrested at a similar clash in Lyon. But Paris's openly gay mayor, Bertrand Delanoy, joined a street celebration in Le Marais, the city's historic gay neighborhood. Following a review by the country's Constitutional Council, which is expected to approve the legislation, the first civil marriages of gay and lesbian couples in France are expected to begin in the romantic month of June. There could also be an especially celebratory Paris Pride March this year. It's scheduled for June 29th. Uruguay and New Zealand also opened civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples in the month of April.
But lawmakers in Colombia overwhelmingly rejected a marriage equality bill on April 24th. There were reports that the country's two largest political parties, the Conservative and the U, had reached an agreement to stop the bill from passing. U Party Senator Armando Benedetti sponsored the measure, however, and slammed this week's lopsided vote of 17 in favor and 51 opposed as regressive. Green Party Senator John Sudarsky called it a moment of sadness. Rainbow flags proliferated in pro-equality protest demonstrations in Bogota and other cities. But there's still hope for marriage equality in the South American country. Colombia's Constitutional Court issued a decision in 2010 requiring lawmakers to eliminate a deficit of legal protection for the families of lesbian and gay couples and to provide them with all the rights of civil marriage by June 20th, 2013. After that date, the ruling automatically gives those couples the right to register their marriages through notary services and the civil courts. Activist couples vow to go to the nation's notaries on June 21st to demand full legal recognition of their relationships.
Rhode Island has all but officially become the 10th U.S. state to enact marriage equality. The Senate approved a bill to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples on April 24th by a lopsided vote of 26-12. Perhaps most noteworthy, all five Republicans in the chamber voted for the bill. The House approved the bill in January, also by a wide margin. Democrats control both legislative chambers, but slight changes in the Senate version will need to be approved by the House before the measure is sent to supportive independent Governor Lincoln Chafee for his signature. The first legal marriages of gay and lesbian couples in Rhode Island could begin in early August.
Delaware's House of Representatives approved a marriage equality measure by a vote of 23-18 on April 23rd. A key Senate committee hearing is already scheduled in the coming week. Equality Delaware President Lisa Goodman told the Washington Blade that, "We believe we will have the votes to pass marriage equality in the Senate." Governor Jack Markell supports the measure.
The Nevada Senate voted 12-9 this week to overturn the state's constitutional amendment approved in 2002 that defines marriage as exclusively heterosexual. It's the first legislative chamber in the U.S. to do that. The measure also requires all marriages between two people to be legally recognized, regardless of gender. One of the senators, Kelvin Atkinson of North Las Vegas, came out during debate.
I'm 44 years old. I have a daughter. I'm black. I'm gay. And I know some of you are first time hearing me say that I am a black gay male, but I've heard some people say some nasty, ugly things because they didn't know that. Some people really, really have this thing in their head, if marriage equality is passed, it somehow interrupts their marriage. If this somehow interrupts your marriage, then your marriage was in trouble in the first place.
The measure to repeal Nevada's constitutional ban on marriage equality has a long road to travel, however. It goes next to the state assembly. If it passes there, it must pass in the next state legislature, which meets in 2015, and then by a vote of the people the following year.
In other news, the U.S. State Department has denied permission to the daughter of Cuban President Raul Castro to attend the Equality Forum 2013 summit in Philadelphia in the coming week, where she was to receive an LGBT Ally Award. Mariela Castro is the director of Cuba's National Center for Sex Education and the leading advocate for LGBT rights on the island nation. She's currently attending United Nations meetings in New York on a diplomatic visa. But Cuban diplomats are prohibited from traveling farther than 25 miles from the city without permission from the State Department. American diplomats in Havana face a similar restriction. A State Department spokesman declined to explain why Castro was denied permission to travel to Philadelphia, saying that visa records are confidential under U.S. law. Malcolm Lazin, the forum's executive director, said in a statement that, "It is shocking that our State Department would deny Ms. Castro travel to a civil rights summit, especially one held in the birthplace of our democracy that enshrines freedoms of speech and assembly."
Singapore gay couple Gary Lim and Kenneth Chi announced this week that they intend to challenge a high court ruling in early April that upheld the Asian city-state's antiquated sodomy law, Penal Code Section 377A. The ban on oral and anal sex between consenting adult heterosexual women and lesbians was lifted after a penal code review in 2007, but the ban remains in place for men who have sex with men. Lim and Chi, who've been a couple for more than 15 years, will file papers with the Court of Appeal, the highest judicial body in Singapore. An online fundraising campaign exceeded their $50,000 goal to pay the legal costs of the appeal. "The journey to a fair Singapore is long and we may not succeed," the couple said in a statement. "But no matter if we succeed or fail, it is important to continue fighting."
LGBT rights were discussed for the first time this week in the Mongolian parliament. The Standing Committee of Legal Affairs discussed a report submitted by the National Human Rights Commission about several groups of people who lack human rights in the country, including LGBT people. Activists in the former Soviet satellite called it a historic moment for the Mongolian LGBT community. But they were reminded of just how far they've got to go when one MP said the report from the Mongolian LGBT Center was just a call for society's pity. Others on the committee asked how many LGBT people there are in Mongolia and how many had registered at the center.
And finally, Lisa Williams, the president of San Francisco's annual LGBT Pride celebration, said late this week that the Army private charged in a massive leak of U.S. secrets to the WikiLeaks website will not be an honorary parade grand marshal, as had been previously reported. She blamed the unauthorized announcement on a staff member who had been disciplined. A committee of former San Francisco Pride grand marshals had selected openly gay 25-year-old Bradley Manning for the honor, but the Pride board overruled that decision. Manning admitted at his court-martial proceedings in February to providing more than 700,000 classified U.S. government documents to WikiLeaks, but said he did it to promote debates, discussion, and reforms concerning U.S. foreign policy. According to the Bradley Manning Support Network, those charges alone carry up to 20 years in prison, and Manning has already been behind bars for more than 3 years since his arrest. Nevertheless, the group statement said, the U.S. military continues to pursue a life sentence in prison for aiding the enemy through indirect means. Supporters argue that there's no evidence of any damage done to U.S. national security, and that it's really an attempt to frighten other would-be military whistleblowers. Manning has equally passionate critics in the LGBT community. Stephen Peters, president of American Military Partners Association, which advocates for same-gender military families, said in a statement that no community of such a strong and resilient people should be represented by the treacherous acts that define Bradley Manning. Manning obviously wouldn't have been able to attend the San Francisco Pride Parade in person anyway. But another famous whistleblower had volunteered to represent him, Pentagon Papers leaker Daniel Ellsberg.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 27, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep This Way Out on the air at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
You'll cheer next for hard-won wedding rights in France and Rhode Island. And later in the program, a leading gay thinker wonders if the marriage equality movement has annulled our radical roots. France's parliament defied months of protests on April 23rd to give final approval to a bill that makes it the 14th country in the world with marriage equality. Increasingly violent opponents of the law, however, vowed to continue the fight. Al Jazeera's Jackie Rowland filed this report from Paris.
Members of France's gay community celebrate what they see as a major step forward in their civil rights. The passage of this law was never in doubt. The ruling socialists have a big majority in the National Assembly. But for many who gathered outside to wait for the vote, it has been a long time coming.
It's right that it should pass. We shouldn't have to battle for things which are so obvious. We're not taking anything away from anyone else, and I don't see why people should tell me what to do, how to live my life, and who to live it with.
Nevertheless, there has been strong opposition to the idea of same-sex marriage, both inside Parliament and among the general public. They say they've lost one battle here, but they intend to fight on.
Le mariage gay n'est pas naturel, car...
I'm against gay marriage because I believe in natural law. Gay marriage is unnatural because a gay couple can't conceive a child naturally, so it doesn't make sense for a gay couple to marry.
The debate about legalizing same-sex marriage has exposed bitter divisions in French public opinion. Many people have been surprised at the backlash against this legislation, in particular the violent attacks that have taken place against gay people. We visited a centre in Paris where young gay people can find temporary shelter. These two young men were thrown out by their families. Now they say they're experiencing growing intimidation and harassment.
Before this debate, homophobia was hidden. It was there, but no one expressed it. These demonstrations have brought homophobes together and given them a feeling of strength in numbers. They feel they have the right to talk about gay people in a very negative way.
Opponents to the same-sex marriage bill have already lodged a legal challenge. The Constitutional Council now has 1 month in which to make its ruling. Provided it validates the law, the first gay marriages in France could take place around the end of June. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, Paris.
A bill to open civil marriage to same-gender couples in the U.S. state of Rhode Island passed in the Senate by a wide margin this week. The state house approved a similar measure in January. Senator Mary Ellen Goodwin had the last word during floor debate on April 24th, right before the final tally was announced. She explained what influenced her vote.
It's certainly not an easy vote for me here. But I want to tell you what I did do in the last few months. I took the time to meet with some of the most amazing people, mostly same-sex people from my Senate district, shared their beautiful stories. Don and Dan, and there was Jen and Tara. I could go on and on and on. To my childhood friend, Tom, who came to visit me to tell me about his gay son. To a grandmother that I adore on River Avenue, that said to me, Meryl, why not? Why not? I have a great grandson. Why not vote for it? And perhaps maybe my favorite couple of all that came to visit, Michael and Sean from the Elmhurst neighborhood. It was because of that contact that I was reaching my decision. But lastly, one of the very last couples that came to see me talked about a plaque that they had in their home growing up. And ironically, I had the very same plaque in my very Catholic home with my mom and my dad and my sisters. And it read, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So ladies and gentlemen, after days and weeks and months of soul searching, searching my heart and my mind, I will be casting my vote today on the side of love, Madam President.
The Rhode Island Marriage Equality Bill now returns to the State House to reconcile its version with the Senate's, but the differences are minor. Governor Lincoln Chafee, who's long supported the measure, is expected to make the final version law. Prognosticators say that lesbian and gay couples should be hearing wedding bells in the Ocean State by early August.
How the world can change, it can change like that, due to one little word, married. See a palace rise from a two-roomed flat, due to one little word, married. And the old despair that was often there suddenly ceases to be. For you wake one day, look around and say, my lovely boyfriend, or if I were a lesbian, my girlfriend. But I'm not, so my boyfriend,
I'm a little tired of the weary throwaway line that there is no such thing as the gay sensibility. Of course there is such a thing as the gay sensibility. Of course gay men and women think in some fundamental ways differently from straights. It is not just about what we do in bed. It is about the echoes in the culture of who we are or who we aren't. Hi, I'm Clive Barker. Listen to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine.
For 20 years, the Kessler Award at the City University of New York has recognized a scholar whose body of work has had a significant influence on GLBTQ studies. And no one fits that description better than 2012 recipient Dr. Martin Duberman. His over 20 books include a recent biography of radical historian Howard Zinn, as well as three memoirs and an off-Broadway play. Duberman's Kessler lecture was entitled Acceptance at What Price? the gay movement reconsidered. Here's an excerpt.
I self-define as radical, not as liberal. And I think there's a lot of confusion. In describing how liberalism, with a great deal of help from conservatives, of course, has historically swallowed up any fragile shoots of radicalism in this country, I do not make an exception for the gay rights movement. And I've seen it evolve over some 40 years of activism in it. Following the Stonewall riots in 1969, which inaugurated the modern gay movement, the Radical Liberation Front initially emerged as the dominant political force. What GLF represented and argued for and demonstrated for was a far-ranging critique of traditional notions of gender and sexual behavior. And GLF emphasized the ideal of androgyny, that is, combining in every individual the characteristics and drives which have traditionally been parceled out as natural to either one gender or the other. GLF also aimed at making alliances with other oppressed groups, like the Black Panthers and like the Young Lords. Today, GLF and its agenda have long since disappeared. It's been replaced by national LGBT organizations, of which, as I said, the Human Rights Campaign is the largest, that work toward assimilationist goals like gay marriage and like the right of gay people to serve openly in the military. And it's precisely that assimilationist agenda, as I said, which for the past 20 years has pretty much swept the field in terms of the gay movement. There are isolated pockets of radical resistance, and I'll come to some of those subsequently. But the going cry now is, hey, we're just folks. You know, we're just like you, you straight people. I mean, except for this trivial little matter of sexual orientation. I mean, we want the same things you want. You know, homes and cars and families, etc. The place, I think, to start in attempting a rebuttal to that position is to say just flat out, it's not true. Gay people are not straight people. In the same way that black people are not carbon copy white people. There's something called a particular special history, and the perspectives which that unique history gives you that sets you apart from mainstream. This, I think, is what gay radicals then and now are trying to argue against the dominant view that we are just folks. Gay radicals oppose reducing our critique of mainstream values to an agenda that pledges allegiance to it. The critique originating back with GLF ranges from economic to sexual issues, from the demand for a genuine safety net for all citizens to a questioning of the universal superiority of lifetime monogamy. More than 60 years ago, the non-gay philosopher Herbert Marcuse, in his classic work, Eros and Civilization, wrote something which has always been a kind of mantra for me, and I'm afraid I've quoted it much too often in my various writings. Here's what Marcuse said back then. Because of their rebellion against the subjugation of sexuality under the order of procreation, homosexuals might one day provide a cutting-edge social critique of vast importance, unquote. It's precisely the loss of that cutting-edge social critique that so much bothers me and others in the gay movement who call themselves radicals. For us to reach the potential that Marcuse envisioned for us, it seems to me that we have to reassert our differentness from the mainstream rather than continue to plead for the right to join it. What we need to assert is the fact that despite enormous variations in our individual lifestyles, and there are enormous ones, we have had a distinct collective historical experience, and therefore the way in which gay people view gender, sexuality, primary relationships, friendships, and family are different. Not different in the sense of being some second-rate variation on first-rate mainstream mores, which is how the mainstream often treats us, but rather it can be argued, and I know it's an argument, our differentness can be viewed as a decided advance over mainstream norms. Gay subcultural values, in my opinion, could richly inform conventional mainstream life itself, could open up an unexplored range of human possibilities for everyone. Could, that is, if the mainstream was listening. But the mainstream is not listening. And in part, the reason it is not listening is due to us, to our denial or concealment of our own specialness in the name of being let into what is essentially a middle-class white male clubhouse.
Author and historian Martin Duberman gave the 20th anniversary Kessler Award lecture last December in New York City. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney and Michelle Marie Gilkison contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride, J.D. Doyle, Clive Barker, and to Jackie Rowland at Al Jazeera. Alan Cumming performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by the Yavanna Foundation and by our generous listener supporters. Thank you. There's more information about us, including staff mugshots, at thiswayout.org. where you'll also find links to our podcast, blog, and Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WRNC Ashland, Wisconsin, KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. That's all. Stay tuned.